Now, what I'm teaching tonight is really a continuation on faith, but it really has to do with prayer. Tonight, I want to connect faith and prayer in a certain way, because I believe this is what's going to push us or help us, help to push us forward in the things of God. How many of you want to move forward in the things of God?
Yeah.
It's going to take this combination of faith and prayer. And so tonight, really the topic for tonight, if I gave it a topic, is praying from your position. Praying from your position, okay? Not position, do I need to kneel? Do I need to stand? Do I need to prostrate myself? Do I have my hands lifted up? Do I bow my head? I'm not talking about that type of position. I'm talking about the position that you have in Christ. And if we can understand our position in Christ and we pray from our position, it will elevate our prayers and our prayer life will be more effective. How many of you want to have a more effective prayer life? You want your prayers to be impacting. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Produces much. There's a lot of victory in prevailing prayer. And so tonight, I really want to talk to you about praying from your position, and we'll see how far we get. Let's just kind of begin in Luke chapter 11. We're going to look at different passages in different books, but I just want to begin here because, you know, this is a good starting point. Luke chapter 11. I like what it says here in verse 1. It says, "Now it came to pass, as he, Jesus, was praying in a certain place." So Jesus was praying, and as he was praying, when he ceased, one of the disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." So John the Baptist taught his disciples how to pray, how to communicate with God, how to connect with God in prayer. The disciples knew that, and now they hear Jesus. What would it be like to hear Jesus pray? Just think about it. Here the disciples can actually hear our Savior praying. Those prayers must have been so divine, so incredible, so glorious, so deep, and so loving, so penetrating, so everything, that they wanted to pray like Jesus. They wanted to pray with that effectiveness, with that open communication with our Heavenly Father. And so they said, "Teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." John Piper said this: prayer is the native language of faith. Prayer is the native language of faith. It's the original, it's the primary language of faith. So if you're going to give faith a language, it's prayer. Or a conversation, it's prayer. Prayer and faith come together, and that's the dynamic that can move mountains. That's the dynamic that can set the captives free. That's the dynamic that can bring healing and restoration and all the things that are needed in this life. Prayer and faith. Faith and prayer combined together is a dynamic combination. And a lot of times we say, "I have faith," but we pray very little. And so our faith isn't established as it should, because it needs the voice of prayer for our faith to increase and deepen. So I want to talk to you about the praying from our position, okay? You know, if your faith level is small, then check your prayer life. Think about that. If your faith is small, then check your prayer life, check your communication, your connection with God in heaven, with your Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ. Check your connection, because faith and prayer go together, okay? So Jesus was praying here. The disciples asked him to teach him how to pray. You know, John taught his disciples. There's something about Jesus' style. There was something about his content, his method, that stirred them. It stirred them, okay? The way Jesus prayed revealed the depths, folks, of his relationship with his Heavenly Father. That time of prayer was revealing his relationship between him and his Heavenly Father. It was revealing his understanding, his knowledge of his Heavenly Father. It was revealing that he had a depth of knowledge and understanding and revelation in that sense of his Heavenly Father. So as he prayed, his prayers were so dynamic because of the right foundation and the right understanding, the right knowledge. When we pray, we ought to pray from our faith, but we have to have knowledge and understanding and perception. Spiritual perception, spiritual understanding, spiritual revelation that causes our prayers to be more effective. So it's engaging in spiritual things. We might pray about natural things, but in our prayer for natural things, we have to engage in spiritual things. And so we need to try to understand how Jesus prayed so that we can get an understanding of how effective our prayers can be. The way Jesus prayed, folks, revealed the depth of that relationship. That's the bottom line, really, of everything. It revealed relationship. So prayer is based on relationship. It's based on knowledge of the one you are praying to. Your prayer life, your effective life in prayer, will be based on your knowledge of the one you are praying to. How well do you know him? How well do you know your heavenly Father? How well do you know his character? How well do you know his nature? How well do you know his essence, who he is in his essence? When you get to know him in his character, his nature, and his essence, your prayer life will hit a new level. Because you will know not just who he is, but what he can do. So many times we try to focus on what he can do without knowing who he is. But we have to know who he is, because who he is releases what he can do. And so if we're going to pray effectively, it comes from the knowledge and understanding of who he is, so therefore he can release what we need him to do or are asking him to do. Amen. So we have to know him, right? Turn to somebody and say, get to know your God. Okay? So the more you know anyone, the more you know someone, the deeper content of your conversation, right? The better you get to know someone here on earth, here in this natural life, the deeper your conversations get, right? You talk about things that you don't talk about with other individuals. Somebody that you just met, very, very superficial. How's the weather? How was your day? Is your car still running? You know, we talk about these superficial things because we don't know them and they don't know us. But the more you get to know another person, the deeper the content of your relationship, the deeper the content of your communication and the conversation that you have with that person. It's the same way with your Heavenly Father. It's the same way as getting to know him. Now, this is a familiar passage, but go to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, we're just kind of laying a foundation right now. And then we'll show you some things. Hebrews chapter 11. Of course, this is the faith chapter. This is, just an incredible chapter of people living by faith, acting out their faith. But the familiar passage that I just want you to see is verse 6. What does verse 6 say? Without faith, it is impossible to please him, right? For he who comes to God... Prayer is coming to him. Prayer is connecting with him in conversation. So for he who comes to God, he who prays to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Okay? So if you come to God in prayer, he who comes to God, you have to believe that he is, that he exists. How many of you believe God exists? Amen. You know, you wouldn't be here if you didn't believe he existed, right? But he's shown himself to you. He's made himself known to you in the person of Jesus Christ. So number one, you know him. So in order for us to come to him, to pray to him, we must first of all acknowledge and know that he is, that he exists, and that he rewards those who diligently seek him. How many of you, when you pray, expect to be rewarded? The reward is answered prayer. The reward is the fruition or the reality, the coming into reality of the thing that you're praying for. So, but God rewards those who diligently seek him. And so that's what he's really talking about here. Believe that he is, that's faith, that God exists, and that God is who he has revealed himself to be. That's all tied in to believing that he is. So the question is tonight, first of all, when we're talking about prayer and praying from our position, is simply this: how well do you know your God? How well do you know him? How deep is your conversation with him? And do you know that he rewards diligent seekers? Do you know that? That he rewards those who diligently seek him? So prayer is based on knowledge. Prayer is based on knowing God. Prayer is based on knowing, not only knowing God, but knowing yourself. Knowing who you are in Christ. That's why tonight we're talking about praying from your position, knowing who you are in your spirit person, knowing who you are as a believer in Jesus Christ. Not in your natural man, but in your spiritual context. Do you know who you are spiritually? Do you know who you are as a believer in Jesus Christ? Who are you? What does the Bible say about you? Okay, you're a child of God. Okay, what else does he say about you? Who are you in your spiritual context? You see, when we get to know who God is and we get to know who we are in our Christian experience, in our salvation experience, that creates a dynamic in prayer that's unbelievable. It's not praying from who we are in the natural. And that's one of the problems we have in our prayers is we're praying about natural things from a natural perspective. We get caught up in natural things instead of praying from who we are in Christ. We have to step over that threshold and get out of our natural existence in prayer. We need to step into who we are in Christ. We ought to always be there, right? I mean, if you go to work, you ought to be in Christ, right? You go shopping, you ought to go shopping in Christ. And so if you're in that position, if you understand who you are in Christ and you connect who you are in Christ to who God is, you have a connection there that builds power for your prayers to be dynamic. Okay? So that's what we're talking about tonight, okay? Praying from your position. Now, we're just going to kind of give you a few things here tonight just to kind of set that, hopefully get it set in your mind. But there are two things that we deal with in this life. And we call it our state, and we call it our standing. So you have state, and you have standing. The state is our physical life, our natural existence, who we are in this life. We have a state, okay? This is a fluctuating state, right? How many of you felt good this morning, and you felt bad this evening? You know, or you were happy this morning and you were upset this evening or whatever. Your state always changes, but this is our physical life. This is our natural. Our standing is who we are in Christ. Our standing is not affected by our state. In prayer, we pray from our standing who we are in Christ, not how we feel. How many of you always pray from what you feel? And God is like, oh, here we go again. Because we're praying from our natural state. We're praying from our feelings and our emotions that are clouding us and messing us up instead of praying from who we are in Christ. This is a place, well, let me just kind of give you some of these things here, okay? This is the physical. This is the spiritual, okay? Okay, so you have the physical and you have the spiritual sense, okay? You have, in another way, you can say this is the earthly and this is the heavenly. You have physical, you have spiritual, you have earthly, you have heavenly. Now, here's the one that really gets people a lot of times is that in the state that we are in, that is really experience that we live by our experience. We pray from our experience. So if you have a bad experience, you might have a bad prayer. Because we pray from our state, from where we're at, okay? But our standing means we pray from our understanding or revelation. Your prayers will be stronger when you pray from understanding and revelation than from your experience, or we could say from your emotions. It doesn't mean that you can't be emotional when you're praying from your standing, because when you know who you are in Christ, you ought to be a little happy, right? It ought to get you a little bit excited to know who you are in Christ, to know who you were and who you are, okay? And so it's not that we don't use emotion or we don't use feelings, but the feelings and emotions don't control our prayer. They are a result of our prayer, or they surround our prayer, because we know who we are in Christ and we know who we're praying to. So the difference between our state and standing in prayer is one is physical, one is spiritual, one is earthly, the other one is heavenly. How many of you want to pray heavenly prayers? Prayers that are in alignment and agreement with heaven. Those are the powerful prayers. It also has to do with our experience here on earth and our emotions and our state, how we are right now, as opposed to praying from understanding and revelation. Praying from revelation is exciting. When God shows you something in prayer, let me tell you, it's a freight train that's just running. I get so excited when the Lord shows me, whether he gives me a word, you know, some of the messages I've been preaching, Lord, give me a word, or he'll give me a picture. And it's, to me, it's just like God revealing an aspect of what he's wanting me to see in prayer. And it is so exciting because it takes me out of this location. It takes me out of this environment, and it places me in this environment that is beyond the things that will limit us. This is limiting. This is limited. This is limitless. This is unlimited prayer life. And so you have your state, basically you have your standing, okay? They're going to give you a couple more, but go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Kind of trying to build this up a little bit in your mind and your understanding about praying from your position, okay? Ephesians chapter 2. And here's where it gets positional, okay? Verse 6 says that he raised us up together and he made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now think about that. Think about what he said here, okay? Later on, we have time. We're going to go back and look at the other verses here, but I just want you to see verse 6 because it lays the foundation here. He raised us up together. And listen to this. He made us sit together where? He made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So now we see a position. Now we're seeing us in a position. We are seated in Christ in heavenly places. Where are you seated right now? Where are you seated in this area right now? You're seated right here at Church of Safford, right? Your physical body, because this pertains to the physical, so physically you're seated here, 3616 South U.S. Highway 191, okay? You're seated in Church at Safford. Where are you seated here? Come on, where are you seated here? In heavenly places. Here, you have been seated. That's a past tense. You have been seated in heavenly places. Right now, in your spirit man, in your spirit person, you are seated with him in heavenly places. When we can grab a hold of this and apply it to our prayer life, we begin to pray from our position. We begin to pray from who we are in him and where we are in him. And that's really important, folks. Another thing here is the state. This state can be failure, and this be success. Okay? We can experience these things, failure and success. We can also have it here, defeat and victory. So if we try to pray from our state, we're going to be praying from our physical sense, our natural surroundings, our natural events, the things that we are tied to in the world. We're going to pray earthly prayers. We're going to pray from our experience, our emotions, and that's dangerous, folks. If this isn't tied to that over there, if the prayer isn't coming this way to deal with our experience and emotions, if we're using our experience and emotions to try to get to our standard, try to place that, we're going to be in a mess. So we do not allow experience and emotions to be the foundation of our prayer. In our state, we can have failure. In our state, we can have defeat. But if we pray from our standing, in our spiritual standing, we are spiritual, we are heavenly minded, we have understanding and revelation. In our standing, we have success. And in our standing, we have victory. How many of you have victory right now? How many of you have victory over the things and the problems you're facing right now? In Christ, in your standing, you have victory because he is a victor. Over here, you're depending on yourself. And so we have to look at the state and standing in our prayers and where are we praying from? Where are we praying from? Okay, so you have all these different things, okay? So it's knowing Christ and where he is. Now, we just saw where it says he's raised us up together and seated us in heavenly places. So what we have here Christ. No. How many of you know God isn't moved necessarily by your emotions? If again, if you're praying from the physical aspect of it, you're being disconnected from who you are in Christ and where you are in Christ. There's got to be a step over beyond that. We can't manipulate God. We're good at manipulating each other with our emotions, right? With our feelings. You know, we can manipulate people with our words. But God isn't manipulated by those things. So many times we try to pray from our state thinking we're going to manipulate God, and God says, I'm not going to be manipulated. God is true to his word. And so we have to come into that understanding. Now go to Ephesians chapter 1. This is what I want you to see tonight. Verse 15, it says, therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, he's talking to the church at Ephesus, and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you, now look at this, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. What did we say over here about our standing? It's about revelation. It's about understanding. It's about revelation, okay? So what does he say here? That the Father of glory may give you the knowledge or give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Now, we've been hitting the knowledge of God for a while now. On our Wednesday night services, we've been talking about knowing God. You have to know your God. So what does he say? It says here, we need the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we can know him. We can have the knowledge of him. God must reveal himself to us. And he does that with the spirit of wisdom and revelation. And then verse 18, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ, when he raised him from the dead, and look at this, and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above. Somebody say, far above.
Far above.
Now, this is where what you need to see first. What you need to see first is where Christ is. He was raised from the dead and God seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality, all power, all might, all dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that age which is to come. So first of all, you need to see that Christ is seated on his throne, and he's seated on his throne far above all principalities and powers and rulers and thrones, all these different things. He is seated far above. Far above. So first, in learning how to pray effectively and learning how to pray in a way that's going to be effective and powerful, we have to know where Christ is. We need to know that his accomplished work is accomplished. It's done, right? There's nothing more to do to it. And having accomplished that work, it says God has seated him at his right hand in heavenly places on his throne far above all this mess. So you have, this is the heavenlies. This is the rule of the enemy or the heavenly places. And now here's earth down here, and here we are. This is our physical state. But we have Christ seated in heavenly places. Now that's important, folks. It's important that we see that Christ is seated in heavenly places, okay? Above all principalities, all power, all might, all dominions, over every name that is named, he is exalted and he is seated there. So we must know where Jesus is seated. The right hand seat, listen to this, is the highest position available in a kingdom. The right hand, the king's right hand, is the highest position of authority, the highest position of honor, the highest position of rank that anybody can be given. And Jesus has that position. So there's nothing higher. There's no higher than Jesus, that Jesus can go. And that's important for us to understand, okay? So he's seated in that place. It's a seat of the highest position. The kingdom of God is the greatest kingdom, and he has the highest position in the greatest kingdom. There's no authority higher than God. Jesus is seated in a place of unmatched, unequaled authority. That's Jesus. He is seated in that place of unmatched, unequaled authority. Now, let's continue in verse 22. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Who's the body? Who's the body? And where's the body? Where's the body? He's the head. He's the head. All things have been placed under his feet. And we are who? We are his body. So where are we? We are seated in Christ in the place of highest authority, far above all principality and power and rule and dominion and might. And over above, far above all, every name that is named. So when we talk about praying from our position, we're praying from a place of position. This is how we need to pray. Praying from the place where Jesus is, because we are his body. He is seated in heavenly places. He is seated at the right hand of God, the ultimate place of authority for anyone to receive from God. And now we are his body, seated with him. Does that tell you anything about your prayer life? Okay. You got to know where he's seated. Okay, so let's go on. Verse 1, chapter 2. And you, look at somebody and say, you. And you he made alive. How many of you are alive tonight? All right, I'll give you another chance. How many of you are alive tonight? There you, I thought you were here. Okay. You he made alive. Now listen to this, who were dead in trespasses and sins. When Jesus found us, we weren't here. We were here. We were dead. We weren't even on the ground. We were spiritually dead. So that we couldn't get any worse. But it says, who were dead once in your trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others. So now he's telling us who we were. Verse 4 says, but God. Everybody say, but God. I love that. I can't help but read that and just have to say it again, but God. Because it doesn't matter what came before it. It doesn't matter how bad it was before this. It doesn't matter the evil, the filth, the mess that was before this. Once you say, but God, everything changes. Thank God in your life, you were a mess. You were a filthy, rotten sinner. So was I. But God. The only reason you're saved is but God. It says, but God, who is rich in mercy. Now look, you got to get this. Because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And listen to this, raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He made us sit together. He raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Right now, spiritually, in your spiritual conduct or your spiritual content of your life, right now you are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That is positional. That's legal. That's authority. It's all that you need, because we're seated with him right now. Okay? That's a powerful thing. So what we're dealing with here is the difference between our heavenly position and down here would be our earthly condition. So down here, we have an earthly condition. And we live our lives and we deal with things in life, but we must not forget that we have a heavenly position. We have a position in Christ. And that's what he's saying here. Raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you've been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, that the gift of God, not of works, lest anybody should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So what is he saying? He's saying we have been raised from the dead, and now we're seated in heavenly places in Christ. Earthly condition, heavenly position. Are you going to pray from your earthly condition, or are you going to pray from your heavenly position? You see, when you pray from your heavenly position, that's authority. That is all that you need, because you are in him. And so we're not praying from our condition anymore. When we pray from our condition, our prayer is a bunch of griping and gut busting. But when we pray from our position, we pray from who we know we are in Christ. And that changes the whole spectrum of our prayer life. So you have earthly position, earthly condition, and you have your heavenly position. Okay? Praying, living from your earthly condition is defeating. But when you're praying and living from your heavenly position, it's victorious. You can have victory in your prayer life when you pray from here, not from here. Because when you're here, you're already above principalities and powers and rulers and thrones and dominions and every name that's named on earth. You're already above your problem. Down here, you have a problem. Here, you're above the problem that you're facing. And I know that sounds a little contradictory, but it's not. Because we walk in the natural, but we are spiritual beings. We have been made alive in Christ. We are spiritual, and so we have to learn to live from this place and not from this place. When you're living from here, you feel the weight of all these things coming down on you. How many of you ever been there? How many of you were there today? Okay. You get trapped in your condition, and you begin to feel the weight and the pressure of all the evil and all the mess of life that comes down on you, all the adversity, all the corruption, even natural corruption. Your tire goes flat or your car doesn't run, whatever. Those are natural conditions. And we get trapped in our earthly condition, and we begin to feel the weight of all these things coming down on us. But when you live from up here, listen, even if you have a flat tire, you're going to live from victory. Even if your car doesn't start, you're going to live from victory. Even though you have natural things happen to you and even spiritual things happening at you, the enemy coming down and trying to attack you, you're not going to respond with the stuff we had over here in your state. You're going to respond from your standing, which is in Christ Jesus. That's why here Paul and Silas could be beaten with a rod. They could be whipped. They could be put in an inner prison. They could be in stocks, in chains, in the inner prison, and they could still be worshiping at midnight. Because they were living from their position, not from their condition. And so at midnight, Paul says, "Hey, Silas, you still awake?" Silas says, "Yeah, I am." Silas says, "Hey, Paul, what do you want to do?" Now, what else are you going to do if you're put in stocks in the inner prison? If you can't even move, what do you want to do? Well, can't do anything. Why don't we worship? Why don't we praise him? And so being beaten, being put in the stocks, being put in the inner prison, they didn't allow their condition to control them. They allowed their position to be released. So in their position, they praised God because they were with Christ in heavenly places. So they're praising and worshiping him. And because they prayed from their position, then what happened, an earthquake took place and took care of their condition. When you understand your position takes care of your condition doesn't reveal your position. Don't ask me to say that again. But so many times we're trapped in our earthly condition. Think about that, folks. Think about how these things take place in our lives. It's living from our position. It's praying from our position. The Amplified Bible says this: He raised us up together with Him when we believed. The moment you believed, you were raised up. It didn't take a while, right? As soon as Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth, Lazarus had no choice. He had to come forth. His eyes blinked open and he stood up. And actually, he came out like this. Because when he came out, Jesus gave the instructions to unbind him, to loose him, and let him go. He came out in his grave clothes, but he came out because Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. He had no choice. When Jesus said to you, come forth, when you repented of your sins and you received Christ as your Savior, he said, come forth. And immediately you were seated with him. You were made alive. So it says he raised us up together with him when we believed and seated us with him in heavenly places because we are in Christ. That's the Amplified. Seated us in heavenly places because we are in Christ. So are you in Christ? So where are you? You're seated far above. You're in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, and you're far above all your mess. Isn't it good to know that right now you're seated far above all the mess in your life? Yeah. Think about that. That's why Paul could say to live is Christ, to die is gain. Because he was living from his position, not from his condition. He wasn't afraid to die. He wasn't afraid to be beaten. He wasn't afraid that, oh, I might die in this situation. You know, pray that I get out of it. No, he said, hey, I'm not living for my condition. I'm living for my position. Do with me what you want to do. If you kill me, you just give me a promotion. And so he learned to live from his position, not his condition, okay? So this, in essence, is a joint seating with Christ. We are seated together with him. We're already seated. Right now, you are already seated with him because of your born-again experience. When Jesus was seated, he took his seat as conqueror and as victor, right? So he took his seat as conqueror and victor because in our salvation, we now are more than conquerors through him who loved us. The scriptures say we are more than conquerors. Romans 8, right? We are more than conquerors. How many of you are more than a conqueror? Why does he say more than a conqueror? Because he is seated far above all principalities, powers, right? He's seated far above, so we are more than a conqueror. We are hyper conquerors. That's what it means. We are a superseding conqueror. We didn't just win the battle. We destroyed the entire land. We just demolished everything. There is no evidence of anything we were fighting anymore because we're more than a conqueror because of who we are in Christ. That was Romans 8:37. We are more than conquerors. Okay? So let me ask you, how many of you are more than conquerors? Amen. I didn't ask you how you feel. I didn't say, do you feel like more than conquerors? If I were to ask you right now, how many of you feel like you're more than a conqueror? How many would you say you feel like it? Now, if I just ask you, how many of you are more than conquerors, how many of you would you say you're more than a conqueror? You see, you got to leave your emotional, physical state, your state. You got to leave the state behind and get to your standing. Because it doesn't matter how you feel. It doesn't matter. You are a victor. Look at somebody and say, I won. Okay? Now I'm going to try to push forward in some of this. I got a lot of notes, but I want to try to kind of, you know. Here's how our prayer, I'm just skipping a lot of things, but here's the thing. Our position in Christ is a legal standing. You have to understand that our position in Christ is legal. It's a legal standing. Okay? It's not something that we can lose out of favor, whatever. We have a legal standing with him. Okay? Now, here's the thing. Don't pray from your earthly condition. Pray from your heavenly position, right? Because it's a legal standing, okay? So your legal standing and your spiritual authority come together, okay? So the name of Jesus is available to every believer. Is the name of Jesus available to each one of you? It's available to you. To believers in his name, okay? It's available to us. We act in his name. It's to pray in his name. And to pray in his name is to get his co-signature. It's like getting his co-signature in Jesus' name. It's a powerful way to pray, okay? Now, let me just real quickly try to end this. How did believers recognize their position in their circumstances? I think it's really interesting, okay? Acts chapter 3, we have Peter and John going to the temple to pray, and they meet the man lame at the gate, right? Did you notice they didn't pray? Two things about them. They knew who they were, and they knew who filled them. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. They were filled with that anointing, but they also understood their authority in Christ. So they know who they were. And so when they came to the lame man reached up with his cup or whatever he had, expecting to receive some alms from him, because that's what people did, give alms as they went in. And Peter said, look on us. And he said, I don't have any gold or silver. You see us, we don't have any. But he says, what I have, I give you. And he didn't pray, God, would you heal him? You know, we pray, Father, if it be your will, would you heal this person? We don't know what your will is, but you do. And we try to bargain with God, and we try to use words that if they don't get healed, then we escape, you know? Here's the difference when you understand who you are in Christ. Because Peter said, he didn't pray a prayer. He said, in the name of Jesus. He knew where he was seated. He understood his position. He understood his anointing. So he said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. He didn't give the man a chance to think about it. The Bible says he grabbed him by the hand and jerked him up. When we understand our position in Christ, when we understand the anointing, when we understand what God has made available to us and where we are, we can begin to declare things. We can begin to speak things into existence in that sense, just like Peter did. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he got up. When you begin looking at how people in the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, the prophets who knew God, you know, they prayed, but they also declared. They also declared. And they attached their prayers to the declarations that they made. Same thing in the New Testament, okay? In Acts 3, they didn't have a prayer meeting. You know, Peter and John didn't say, well, let me go back to the group and let's pray about it, and we'll come back. No, they already knew who they were. You go to Acts chapter 4, verses 5 through 10, you see another situation there. What happens is that Peter and John are standing before the authorities that arrested them. And listen to what they said. By what power or by what name did you do this? Now, when they said by what power or what name, that's very significant. Because in those days, they didn't have, you know, the mail services that we do today or communications we did today. So whenever they wanted to communicate, you know, on a high level of authority, they always gave it to a runner, and that runner went in that name. And as they were going in that name, if anyone stopped them, all they had to do was say, I am coming in this name. And when they said in this name, all the authority of that name was possessed by that person because he was going in that name. And so when they asked him by what authority, power, and by what name have you done this, they were asking a very important question because they knew a miracle took place and they wanted to know what authority they were walking in. Do you know what authority you're walking in? Do you know whose name you're walking in? In the name of Jesus. You're witnessing to somebody at Walmart, and one of the workers come up and say, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? I'm here in the name of. Hallelujah. I'm here in the name of. That's all you got to say. They might kick you out, but you're there in a higher authority and a higher power. And that's what happened with Peter and John. They say, hey, if you want to know who did this, it's the name of Jesus who did this. It was the name of Jesus that did this, okay? But that's how they prayed. They prayed, but they also declared, okay? So your position is who we are in Christ and where we are in Christ. The power is the necessity of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We need the combination of the two. Okay? How did the miracle happen? Basically, they understood who they were in Christ. We must know who we are in Christ. That's learning to pray from our position. Praying from our position. We can plead and beg God all we want, and it's not that God doesn't hear us, but we can plead and pray in a weaker sense for God to send revival and awakening. Or we can pray and believe from our position and release it in our prayers and bring it forth, call it forth in our prayers. Instead of waiting for God to do it and say, well, someday God might send it, God might be waiting for us to recognize who we are in Christ and the anointing that's on us to bring it into existence, to pray it down. Whatever it is, it's coming to know who we are in Christ. Who we are in Christ. We're ambassadors. Let me just close with this. The Bible calls us, we're ambassadors, right? 2 Corinthians 5:20, we are ambassadors for Christ. And listen to this, as though God were pleading through us. So whenever you go out, whatever you do in the name of Jesus, you're doing it from your place and your position as an ambassador, as though God is speaking and moving through you. It's positional. It's positional. Praying from your position. Learning how to pray from your position. How many of you want to pray from your position from now on? You've got to know who God is. You've got to know who your Savior is. You have to know where Christ is seated. You have to know where you were seated. You have to know that that seat is a representation of power and authority. It's the highest position that can be given to anyone. It was given to Christ, and then we were put on that throne in Christ. If Christ was not on that throne, we couldn't be on that throne because we don't deserve the crown. We would never get that throne. It's only because we are in Christ that we are on the throne that Christ is on. That is what will change our prayer life. Praying from your position. I mean, you look at some of the people in the Bible and you think, man, they had audacity to say the things they said and to do the things that they did. They had audacity. We need some audacity. We need some spiritual audacity that comes from who we know we are in Christ. You know, I think about Elisha when the axe head fell into the water, and you know the servant was all the minor prophet there was all sad and you know worried because it was a borrowed axe, and the prophet Elisha, it didn't bother him. He already knew, he understood his position, he understood the anointing, and all he said was, "Where did it fall?" And he grabbed a twig and threw it in there, and up comes the axe head, up comes iron. Floating on the water. He didn't go and fast 3 days and pray and, you know, get on scuba gear and, Lord, show me where it's at. That's how we would have done it. And then when we found it after putting on scuba gear and leave, you know, being in the water for 30 minutes, we finally come up and say, God showed me where it's at. But a man of faith, a woman of faith, does things that are full of audacity. And God responds. So, how many of you want to pray from your position? Amen. Learn how to do it. Yes. Your prayers will be different. Your prayers will be different. Yeah, come on up.
Pastor started about our gifts and our prayers. I've been attending the prayer meetings as much as I can. And, you know, everybody has gifts in here. Everybody has a gift that God has given you, one, two, as many as he wants. And I know my gifts. But the more I come to prayer meeting, the more, you know, they're just so. And let me tell you what happened the other day. I went to Walmart, like you said, you know, and I just walked around getting my little stuff, and I walked and I needed to get some picture frames, so I stopped and asked the lady where they were, because you know it's all turned around. So she pointed me, and then as I walked away pushing my cart, the Lord spoke to my heart. This woman was looking all together, not anything bothering her. She was doing her job. She was well. She was clean. She was just sweet as could be. And as I walked away, the Lord spoke to me and said, she's having a hard time at work, at home. And because I stopped like, oh my gosh, I know that voice. Like, I need to do something about this. And so I turned back to her, and this altogether woman, so I said, I'm a born-again Christian. I go to the church at Safford. And I said, and I have heard from God's a word for you. Can I give it to you? And she said, yes. She's very sweet, you know. But it didn't look like she was having any problem. And so I said, I feel the Lord is saying that you are really going through a hard time at home. And she looked at me and she went, you know, her head just bowed and just, she couldn't believe, because it was true. It was true. And I'm just saying, not for me, but for you too.
That's right.
It's so much fun with what God is doing. And those prayer meetings are I mean, they let us make mistakes at the prayer meetings. But, you know, I mean, when are we going to learn? When are we going to learn?
That's right.
That the leadership is allowing us to come forth with who we are, just the way we are. And the gifts are amazing. They were so much fun. And I'm going to tell you today, I even got a prayer request from Albuquerque.
Amen.
You know what it was? Her daughter was sent home to die of cancer, 37-year-old. You know, and I said, no. I actually said, no. She's not. Because you know what? I've seen God heal my sister of stage 4 cancer.
Amen.
You know? And he is. We are truly. We're feeling. I mean, I really feel myself in heavenly places because of the prayer meetings.
Yes.
More so.
Yes.
We know we are. But I know Jesus is coming to us on those prayer meetings. Please come.
Yes.
I go, and I'm not saying I'm always here, but I'm mostly coming.
Amen. I'm not always there either, but you come. Folks, I'm telling you, get to the prayer meetings. Get to whatever prayer meetings you can. It is so, it's inspiring, it's invigorating. You press in. You press in. Sometimes your flesh doesn't want to press in. It's not about the flesh. It's not about the flesh.
Can they say what I want to see from here?
Well, they won't hear you. So we want to make sure we get it live on Memorex.
Well, I just wanted to mention that, like Pastor was talking about, taking authority and knowing who we are in Christ Jesus. I remember when I was pastoring in Utah, I got a call from a church member. He said, Pastor, my cousin OD'd on heroin, and he's in ICU right now. They've given him a 60% chance of dying. They've hardly given him any hope. If he wakes up, he's going to be a vegetable. And so he said, come and pray for him. Please come and pray for him. So I said, okay. So I ended up going to the hospital, and I was met by a doctor. I said, hey, is so-and-so in there? And he says, yes, but he's in ICU, sir. You can't go in there. I said, listen, I'm going in there. And he says, no, you're not. He's in ICU. Do you not understand? I said, listen, I serve a God who can heal him, and I believe that if I get in there, I can pray for him, and God will touch him.
Amen.
And so I was expecting security to come and escort me out of the hospital. But something in that doctor decided to stop. He steps to the side. He says, go ahead. And so I went in. I prayed for him. I called the next day, and they told me 2 or 3 hours after I prayed for him, he woke up, and he wasn't a vegetable. And so the thing to understand about that is what Pastor's talking about, audacity, understanding who we are in Christ Jesus. Sometimes we have to take authority and believe in the power of prayer, believe in the power of the gospel. And it's not a matter of stepping on toes, but understanding that through the power of Jesus Christ, we can do miracles. God
yes.
can use us.
Yes.
And so taking that authority, it's bold. And it takes a little courage, but believe it or not, God will move if you stand on his promises. Amen.
There you go. That's the way to do it. See, God does things, folks. He does things. They're not going to hear you. Come on up. I love this. I love it. I love it.
Anyway, brother and sister, I'm reading a book, A Better Way to Pray, by Andrew Womack.
There you go.
He's already done it all. Yep. When he hung on that cross and gave us eternal salvation, what more could he do?
That's right.
See, and we question him. We question him, and we embarrass him when we start to beg him. What more could he have done for us than give us eternal salvation and dying on that cross?
That's right.
So you need to go boldly, like brother saying there.
Amen.
And go with your request, and he'll answer them. If you go in with doubt, what does he say about a man that has doubt? He, just like the sea, it tosses it. So you got to go boldly, and you got to truly, truly know he already did everything for us. These little things are a request that we need, you know, healing, or we need, he's already done it if you truly, truly believe in him.
Amen. 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 Praise God. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Yes. Come on.
Well, what Brother just said, that just gave me confirmation for what I was going to say is, I have been receiving from the Lord that we need to start believing when we pray, not just praying and hoping for it. He said, you need to believe. When you pray for something, believe it. And
Amen.
He said, stop begging. You don't need to beg.
Right.
So you say it and you decree
Amen.
It. And I also encourage especially husbands and wives or anybody you may know that want to get into prayer. Something me and my husband started doing is praying together every day, even if we only have a certain amount of time. We've just made it a daily thing. And I had received Matthew 18:19. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them.
Amen.
And when me and my husband were praying last week, we were praying and we both were just speaking in our prayer language and just going. And when we were done, we said, we believe it, we receive it, we decree it.
Amen.
And we come into agreement with it, Father
Amen.
God. And what we did is we lifted our hands and we released it with full faith for it to come to pass. And when we were done, my husband said, you know, I've prayed in the spirit before, but we were somewhere else. And I got that feeling as well. And I said, we were in heavenly places.
Amen.
We were in our prayer closet,
Amen.
Physically, but in the supernatural.
That's
we were
right.
there. It was like we were speaking with
That's
the
right.
Lord face to face. So I just encourage you all to just, when you pray, to believe it.
Amen.
Don't just hope for it. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Good word. Good word. Hallelujah. Get excited about prayer.
Amen.
Get excited about prayer. You're talking to your Heavenly Father. It's a powerful thing. It's an exciting thing. Hallelujah. Well, stand with me. We'll be dismissed. Father, thank you for your word once again. We thank you, Lord, that it gives us instruction, understanding, revelation of you. And Father, as we pray, Father, my desire is that we all come into that place where we learn to pray from our position, not our condition. That the conditions that we find ourselves in do not hinder us when we pray. But we step out of those conditions, recognizing where we are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, a place and position of authority. And it's only because of what Christ has done. And so, Father, we thank you for the privilege we have of prayer, and Father, the power that comes with it. And I pray, God, in Jesus' name, that we will begin to discover the glories of prayer, and the power of prayer, and what prayer releases into the atmosphere. And that, Father, we won't pray prayers that are weak and sickly. We won't pray prayers that are filled with doubt, that do not even reach, Father, the rooftop. But God, I pray that we step into our prayer life with a determination and with a confidence that we are praying, Father, from our place of position in Christ Jesus. So, Father, thank you. Help us to capture that, Father, and help us that our prayer lives would change and that we would impact, Father, things around us like never before through our prayers. So, Father, we give you thanks and praise tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Lord, bless you. Have a good night in Jesus' name.